Foundation, an undergirding, sub and a standing, that which stands underneath. Your foundation stands underneath your house. And so faith is the underneath foundation of things hoped for. Please notice the contrast between faith and hope. You're here this morning by faith, sitting here. You hope to get home. So that hope is something future. And otherwise, we have plenty of room to put you up. And I don't know what Brother Mort has back in the kitchen. We could hang on here a few days, I think. But by faith, you're here. You came by faith. But now that you're here, you hope to get home. Because hope is something future that you hope to achieve. And hope is really faith stretched out into the future. I came here by faith. I get home by faith. But I hope to be there. Hope is confident expectation of good. Now then, faith in our souls to be saved. Now, we understand therefore that there comes into our souls by the Word of God and by the work of the Holy Spirit a confidence that something will happen. How many people, hundreds and hundreds down through the years here, and it's only 6 or 7 years, but how many hundreds of people have sat in these first seats right in here and have heard the gospel of Christ and have come to the point where they believe that he will save them, believe that he died for them, and so they make that transaction with God and they become saved. But there was a substance, an undergirding, an under foundation built into them as they heard the word of God here and other places, as they had the work of the Holy Ghost enlightening this to them, that this is for me. It's not just true out there, it's true for me, and it's true for something I should do today. And therefore, they repented and they believed and they found faith became something that they put confidence in God and he put his confidence and assurance back in them, all right? Now, by faith, we understand these things. Faith is the undergirding. Faith is the foundation of things hoped for. They hope to be saved. They'd like to go to heaven. They'd like to know they're forgiven. They hope that they were. But it's only as they took God's word plus the work of the Holy Ghost in their life, it was done, they believed. They made their commitment, and it happened. Now, that is faith in the initial transaction of pardon, forgiveness, and eternal life. And I want one person to stand this morning, in whom this is true, and give us a no more than 2-minute testimony as to how you find Christ. Because as we go through here this morning, you are going to be the living illustration of what we're preaching about. I'm not just going to talk about something. I want you to know, and you all know, to be encouraged, that what's in the Bible and what God has believed for happens in people here. Not over there in some other place. Happens here. I want one person, okay, who you are, to stand and give a testimony as to how you came to put your faith in Jesus Christ. All right. Al, thank you. Face that way and they'll hear you.
I think I came here and Pastor may know my testimony. I came here and sat for probably 6 months listening to the Word and realizing that it made so much more sense than what I had done for the last 39 or so years. And I, one day, finally came to the realization that it was the truth. At that time, I committed my life and asked him in. I remember being tremendously sorry for all the sins I'd ever committed, but being so grateful for his.
Thank you, Al. All right, now he came to understand that this was the truth. It was the truth of God's Word. And the truth of God's Word was not something to be heard like a symphony that you listen to. You walk in the opera house, you listen to a symphony or an opera, say, wasn't that lovely? And you go out. It's, you know, you pop a record on or put a tape on, you listen to a tape, isn't that nice? And go out. Truth is not just a music played to you. Truth is something that has to be acted upon. And therefore, faith is believing what God said will happen. And so he believed and was converted a number of years ago. Not, what, 2, 3, Al? Time goes by. 4 already? Wonderful. 3. Wonderful. All right. Now look, faith is that substance. Faith is that substance which is a foundation in my soul by the Spirit of God and by the work of the Holy Ghost and by the truth of God's Word. It's something inside we sit upon, stand upon, rest upon. You trust your life, your wife's love today. You know of your love for your child. You know who you are. You have confidence that you're who you are. It's an interior knowing. faith is an interior knowing in the heart caused by the Holy Spirit plus the Word of God being illuminated to us, all right? And we know, and we know, and we know, we know in the deepest part of our being. Just like you know who you are. You know you're Elmer Murdoch or you're Joseph B. Williams or whoever you are. You know who you are. It's in your soul. You know who you are. And in like fashion, knowing that we're saved and can be born of God happens by the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 2. For by it the elders, or that is the men in the Old Testament, obtained a good report. And no matter who they were and what they were, in the Old Testament you got saved by faith, in the New Testament you got saved by faith. And they look forward to the coming Christ, we look backward to the Christ who came. So they were saved the same way. I want somebody here that's over 50 years of age to stand and give a two-minute testimony that by it the older people received their word of faith and their word of confidence from God too, and they obtained a good report. You realize God's going to report on you? You give your testimony to God. You know what? The last day, he's going to give his testimony about you. And by it, the elders obtained a good report. And by it, God's going to say through his son, Jesus, come on up. This is my child. I love him. He accepted me or whatever. Christ is going to put his testimony on you when you walk by. I want somebody over 50 years of age to stand and give it a word of testimony this morning. That means you're old if you're over 50 and I'm over 50. All right, don't hold back. Don't let your gray hair hold you back. Somebody. Maybe we got nobody here over 50 that's saved. There we go. Thank you. He doesn't even have gray hair. Boy, if I looked as young as you, go right ahead, brother.
Well, I came 3 years ago. I really didn't know him. He didn't come first. That little niece came along, she scared Bill. She said, Uncle Gerard, he says, do you ever read the Bible? Well, I did. I'm in church all my life, every Sunday. But I never did read the Bible, I was Catholic. And he says, you read the Bible, right? He said, just read it 20 minutes a day, you won't believe what happened. Well, that was the problem, because I was told it. 20 minutes, but I give up the phone. But I finally decided I don't care too much about sports, so I'll leave it in. So it started out about 15 minutes. It seems a couple hours a day. And boy, I just couldn't do nothing. The word just prayed me, you know?
Amen.
So, pretty soon, again, it grew and grew in it. And finally got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And boy, it just... whole new world. Life has just been so much more full. It's just been true. Praise the Lord.
Well, amen. Praise the Lord. All right. By faith, we receive that good report back from the Lord. The Holy Spirit coming into us and witnessing to us, we're accepted as his good report back on us. Verse 3, through faith we understand. Brother, don't think that shouldn't be underlined in your Bible. Through faith we understand. And what he's telling us right up front, you'll never understand this chapter. You'll never understand what God has done unless you have faith. Faith is the eyesight of the soul. Faith is the eyesight of the soul. It's the eyesight of the Spirit. We see so as to perceive and believe. We need our eyes opened by the Lord, and as we're in the Word and by the Spirit of God, faith is the eyesight of the soul to perceive. Now look, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed and created by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So immediately you have a visible world, that which is seen, and you have an invisible world, that which is not seen, and they are both worlds. And God has created them both. All right? Through faith, we understand. Sometimes we have to go through something and look back and say, oh, now I know why I came through that. Now, you see, I can understand why people who can get enchanted with this world. This creation is a tremendous place. We could go on and on about the beauties of nature. The other day I read about something, perhaps you did too, about, of course, bees and ants are tremendous little creatures that God has made. And you see his infinite wisdom in them both. Now we understand that the beehives all come equipped with undertaker bees, so that if a bee dies and within about 45 minutes there's some kind of a chemical reaction they think goes off in the little bee's body, so the undertaker bees come and take him and carry him about 400 yards from the hive and deposit him somewhere. In other words, can you imagine? Now tell me how in the process of evolution the bees came to the conclusion that somebody should be the undertaker. I mean, it just does. You see what I mean, folks? It's a staggering world that God has made. Through faith, we understand He did it. But I can understand why an unbelieving scientist without eyesight spiritually would come and be absolutely enchanted with this world. You see things like that, you'd like to study the bees forever. And the ants the same way. I mean, I told you about the ants. You know, they milk cows. Did you know that? They have little cows called aphids, A-P-H-I-D-S. And the aphids, they give off a secretion, a little sweet thing from their body. And the other ants come along, the milking farmer ants come along, and they milk their little aphids of this juice that they give out and store that stuff. Now, tell me, folks, how that just happened. That's amazing. That's why I can understand why people with blind eyes still get caught up in this tremendous creation that we're in that God created. It's just amazing. And you go on from one amazement to the others. And no wonder they get into evolution. They've got to explain it somehow. This is an amazing world. But if you don't understand that through faith we understand that the heavens and the worlds were created by the Word of God, then you get entranced and you get enchanted with the creation rather than the Creator. Now, there's some other things involved in that, too. For the man who wants to believe in evolution may have for one of his purposes that he doesn't want to know that there is a Creator. Because if you have a Creator, then you have to find out who he is and what he's like, and does he want anything? What's he around for, type of thing? Then there is a Creator. You've got to find out how you relate to him, and then you're back to God and Christ and sin and all the rest. So if you stay just plain evolutionary, you have no theological, no scriptural, spiritual, quote, problems. You just work with facts and figures and wood and stone and bees and ants and aphids and all that kind of thing and go away amazed. And you also go away blinded. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were created. So right off the bat, God's saying, now look, if you're going to come to me, I want you to know I put this thing here. I sustain this. Through faith, we understand that these things are here by God. Now, there's a principle there. Through faith, we understand. And as you go through all the lives of those people in Hebrews 11, a lot of them had heartaches, a lot of them had victories, but they all came to understand it was through faith they were going through this. I want one person to stand this morning and tell me a testimony. I'll give you 3 minutes on this one. As to something you've come through and you couldn't see it coming on through, but once you got past it through faith, you look back and understood that this is what God had in mind. Through faith, we understand. Faith may try to understand going up on through something. We understand God's in it, but may we look back and see His purpose disclosed afterwards. So through faith, we understand. Something that you've come through this morning that you came to see through faith, you now understand what He had in mind. Someone? I've got faith to trust you for illustrations on faith. So I'm exercising, I'm walking in faith. All right, Tony. Oh, I'm sorry, Terry, rather.
Everybody feels scared just like I do right now. Several years ago, right after I got saved.
Nice and loud now. May I have you come up here if you're not careful?
I had a complete nervous breakdown. I was just a baby Christian. I was probably 3 months old. But I believed in healing, and I believed in the power of God. And it was horrible. You know, I thought that God had just cut me off. I'd lost my salvation, and I committed the unpardonable sin. It was just the worst kind of a situation. And I ended up in a psych ward at St. Joseph's Hospital. I woke up the following morning after having a good night's sleep. I hadn't slept for days. Hadn't eaten. And I went to take a shower, and I was in the shower, and I was somewhat in my right mind at that point, and I was thinking clearly. And I began to pray, and I just think. I thought that I was going to go to heaven. I really did. And I was saved, and yet I thought I was going to go to heaven.
Felt that way.
I felt that. Yeah. And I began to thank Jesus for the time that I did know Him, which was about 3 months just back. And at that time, He made His presence real to me. But where in the Lord? I mean, I'd gone for some time without having. In fact, I had just the opposite feeling of salvation. I felt that God had just given me over to the devil. He just couldn't believe me. But through that experience, many things have happened. The renewing of my mind, I've learned how to control. But more than that, I found out that I was really faithful friends in prayer. The church that I was going to at one time, around the clock prayer group, I appreciate the Lord. They stayed with me through this whole thing. But also through that, my father, who was 300 miles away, he was terminally ill. He was literally on his deathbed. Somehow, I ended up in the same ward as me. And somehow I knew it was going to be 10 days into this experience. I was in the ward for 10 days. I came out and greeted my dad. And I had the opportunity to spend a lot of time in prayer and the word with him. And through that, he came, you know, Jesus Christ as his Savior with assurance. He turned my whole family to Savior. He died just shortly after that. Plus, one of the heaven nurses came along the Lord and ended up in the Bible study in the hospital. I was in, and some other people that came in. I was having all these problems and people were coming to know Jesus. But I came out and it was something I would never, ever want to go through. And when I was going through it, I thought, how, God, can this be good? This cannot be good. This is terrible. This is the end of everything. But I would never want to go through it again. But I really thank God that I have. So much. I think I've been able to help people that are feeling the same kind of feeling. Jesus is faithful.
Through faith, you can't understand. That's what you get done. And no one ever chose that kind of way to reach people. But through faith, we understand. Now we understand. Look back and say, well, praise God. But coming up on through, all right, maybe you're going through something this morning. And you love the Lord. You wonder, what in the world's happening to me? How can it be happening to me? Why should this happen to me? We don't know all the whys. Even Christ on the cross in his humanity cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that's one of the deepest statements of the whole New Testament. And as humanity, he cried out, that question that gnaws on you, the question that comes out of tragedies, Lord, why? And Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, took all the agonizing question marks of life to his own heart, and in one sentence expressed to the Father the agony of anybody who's gone through something, said, Lord, why? And he says, why, Lord, hast thou forsaken me? He understands the burning emptiness of an unanswered question that you don't get in this life. And committed his way to the Lord. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. By faith we understand, sometimes here on earth, and sometimes there in heaven. For the secret things are reserved unto God, Scripture says. And he can show them to us in his time. And then we'll all rejoice. Faith fulfilled. It won't be faith, it'll be sight there. So by faith we understand that even over there we'll understand all that we need to know. All right, praise the Lord. Now, and by faith, Abel, you see how you're making this chapter live? You're all making it live. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, his brother, by which he obtained, that is, Abel, obtained witness that he was righteous, and God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, Abel, being dead, yet speaks. Now here we have the conversion, the rejection of a religious man, Cain, and the conversion of Abel, who believed in the blood of Christ. Now we've had enough testimonies on conversion, so we're going to move on past that, all right? And we thank God for each and every one of those testimonies. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, for God took him to heaven without dying, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, I wish we could have somebody give that testimony who has been translated, but if you did, you wouldn't be here, number one. And number two, the only two that had that was Enoch, and then the other one was Elijah. So we're going to be hard-pressed to get either one of those people here this morning. We'd love to have them. They could have some service, I'll tell you. But I'll tell you, boy, wouldn't those folks be sorry they stayed home this morning. We had Enoch this morning. You should have been there. Oh, for the evening service, we've got to have Elijah back. Woo! I'll be back with my snow sled or something. All right. But look, before this testimony, before they died, they had this testimony, before that translation, that he pleased God. They've gone on. But we remember them. Before the translation, they had this testimony. They pleased God before they went on. I want someone here this morning to stand and to give testimony to an example or an impression or someone else who's gone on to glory, whose life lived has made and continues to make an impression on your life. All right? Someone to that. Think about it a moment. Let's have a testimony along that line. Before their translation, before their homegoing, they had this testimony. They pleased God, and it's affecting you. Touched your life. All right, Julie. Nice and loud. Now, come up here, Julie. Let me share my little mic with you. Come on up here. There we are. I want everybody to hear it. Okay? Here you go.
There was a man that I knew all my life who loved the Lord so much. His name was Pastor Asper.
Amen.
And he pastored, I think it was Our Savior's at the time, down on 35th. And I grew up going to that church, and then a lot of stuff happened, and he was in a small church out in Irvington called Christ Lutheran. And I know that he spent years and years praying for me, and I never knew anyone so precious as this man. He was just... Anyway, just a few months after I came to know the Lord, I think he had a heart attack was what it was, and he died and went to be with Jesus. And I never got to talk to him after I came to know the Lord. But I think, whenever I think of him, just the example that he was and just the love that he had, he was just so precious. He just...
You praise the Lord.
Yeah.
All right. Before his translation, he had this testimony. Please God, affected your life. Prayed for you for years. I praise God for that. You'll have a chance to talk with him forever when you get there, Julie. And that'll be just great. All right. Anybody else got one that's on the top of your soul along that line? All right. Let's press on. Now then. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, was moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and judged it by his own acts of righteousness and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And so the Lord spared Noah's life. Noah built an ark instructed by God and warned by God of this tremendous flood, and he did what God told him to do, and by his believing, he built the very object by which he himself was saved, and God spared him and delivered his life. I want someone here this morning to tell us, share with us of a time when your life was spared by the good mercies of the Lord Jesus. Noah's life was spared, and his spiritual life was saved, but his physical life was also spared. And I want someone here to share and testify to the goodness of the Lord when your life was spared, and you know it was that. All right? Maybe you should have been dead, but you're alive. Douglas? Oh, we got two. We'll take two. That's on this one. Fine. All right, Doug, and then Lenny. Rejoice in that, and your life is spared, and that henceforth we should not live unto ourselves, but unto him who loved us and kept us. Lanny?
In 1972, we, as a family, had traveled back east, and we were on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And Park was driving, and I was looking in the front seat, the children were in the back, and there was a semi-truck trailer that started to change lanes. And I could see it coming over to our lane. We were right there, and it was going to come over and just, you know, smash right into us, and I was the closest one to it. I think it was about that far from us. And I was so scared, I really couldn't say anything. And I was the only one who really saw this all happening. And it was as if an angel just took that truck all of a sudden, which was practically on top of it, and just moved it right back to the next lane. When we got back to Omaha, we were in a prayer group in our other church, and one of the gals said to me, even before I shared this story, she said, you know, Lanny, while you were gone, all of a sudden, I was back in my house, and the Lord spoke to me and said, pray for me. And it was at that very exact time
Praise God.
We were on this turnpike when we were about to be hit.
Praise God. I'll praise the Lord. By faith Noah was spared, and by faith God lays a burden on one member of the body to pray for another member of the body. We praise God for that. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing exactly where he was going. And by faith he sojourned and lived in that land of promise as in a strange country. I wonder who is here this morning who can testify that in following the Lord, they were called out from some place or job where they were and put in some other place. And they went by faith, knowing God was in it. And he's shown that to you now, and you understood it. But that call may have been painful. It may have called you away from family and friends and location and loved ones. But here you are, or there you went. And let's hear about that this morning, how by faith Abraham followed God and obeyed that call and came out from some place. It doesn't have to be geographical. Sometimes it's harder to change your mind about things of Christ than it is to go 1,000 miles in a car. So calling out is not necessarily from Boston to Los Angeles. It might be that. But the deeper call, by faith God called us to come out of some things, and the distance was spiritual rather than geographical, or it may have been both. Let's hear from you. One person, please. Some big change God called you to, from, and so forth. All right? All right.
We had an opportunity to go in the company Buffers with at the time to go to San Juan, Puerto Rico. And I remember that we sat down on the side of the bed and we just prayed about it. We did not know anything. We didn't know the Lord. And we didn't feel we should go. And then when the call came to come out here, we felt that was all right to come. And we did that. Everybody who came to this strange place out here some 21 years ago. And of course, here we found the Lord. And also, then some 7 or 8 years later, and I was just thinking about that this morning, the Lord led us out of the church that we were in at the time. We were not born again, but He sovereignly led us out, led us down to the Omaha Gospel Tabernacle through a daily vacation Bible school time that was out on the street that we wanted to send the children to Bible school. And so He was guiding us and leading us even before we knew Him. And I just want to encourage people who are here this morning who have people in their family who don't know the Lord, that even though they don't, that He is guiding them and He is encouraging them and leading them exactly where they should go. And I thank Him for that.
Amazing. Amazing to think of people praying to God to get direction. We don't even know Him, but yet we're doing it. We know it's right to do. It's a staggering thing to me. It's like Cornelius almost. I never really asked God about direction in my life before I got saved, but some people have. They've been led that way. The big word for it is prevenient grace. Prevenient means this. Pre, before. Venio means coming. Grace, God's love and mercy being shown to us. So it's the grace and love of God coming to us before, prevenio, before coming to salvation. That which God works in your life to prepare you, to protect you. Many of you have had your lives spared when you were still in your sins and unsaved condition. God, knowing you would later come to saving faith, He preserved you by prevenient grace, bringing you to that point, knowing He's going to work in your life for conversion. And so He calls us out, checks us out, keeps us there. It's a staggering thing. But He knew you from the moment you were conceived and prepared your life to bring you to Himself. Amazing thing. All right. Look down here with verse 17 with Abraham. We'll take one more here, one or two. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, put to the test, or proven, offered up Isaac, his son of promise, the son of his old age, being 100 years of age, the son whom every promise that God had given him was to be fulfilled in and through and by Isaac. And now God asks him to offer up that which was most precious to him. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, put to the test, and proven by the Father in heaven, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises, Abraham, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it had been said that in Isaac shall all your shall your seed and your descendants, the Israeli people, who will provide the Savior Jesus Christ, through there being the lineage and the genealogy through whom Christ would come, that in Isaac shall your seed be called. Accounting and believing and reckoning that even if he did offer up Isaac, that God would be able to raise him up, even from the dead, and thereby still fulfill the promises that God had given him. From whence this place and state of death, also he, Abraham, received him back to himself symbolically. He said, even if he's dead, I see even now by faith that God could raise him up, and I'll receive him back by faith even now before I've offered him up, I'll receive him back, because I know God has to fulfill his word and will fulfill it in Isaac. Now, this may not be easy. By faith, Abraham, when he was put to the test, offered up his only begotten son, like the Father in heaven did with the Lord Jesus. And I'm wondering if there's anyone here this morning that can share with us some incident when, and I'll say it just up front, when you had to put something on the altar, as it were, something that's very precious to you. Obviously, it will not be a child, son or daughter. But I'm wondering if there's something else, and maybe it was that for you. God will never ask you to sacrifice a child. And he didn't have Isaac's life taken. But he wanted to make sure that Abraham loved God more than he loved his son. God wanted to make sure that Abraham loved God, who gave him his son, more than his son. And that's why Christ, when he recruited you and me, said, if any man come after me, let him put me ahead of father and mother and sister and brother and wife and family and children and our own lives also, or we cannot be his disciple. That is, we've come to this point of detachment. Some girl testified, I think, right down here this morning, of understanding the spiritual detachment from her husband. She loves him more, but the spiritual detachment, Lord, my husband is yours, and I love you and he loves you, so I've come to the liberty of trusting my husband to you, Lord. My security is in you, but this is what she's testifying to. I wonder if there's some testimony this morning as to something that God led you to put on the altar. Maybe you thought you're all right up to snuff with the Lord, and we are, till he opens up a little more revelation. We say, well, I've never gotten that far, so I give that over to you, Lord, and I put that on the altar. That's also yours. Some testimony along that line. Maybe anything. Maybe a job. Maybe your home. Maybe something that, maybe it was a child. Maybe it was a career. Maybe it was something else. And by faith he did. All right, Sylvia?
Our second daughter, when she was a young teenager, started having headaches. And she had them for about 6 months, and they were constant. We had her to the doctor many times, and we went through a period where she was going to a chiropractor, and we just tried everything. She was in the hospital for all kinds of tests. And nothing seemed to help these headaches. They couldn't find anything wrong. We were relatively good Christians at the time. And one night at church, I was talking to a girl, and she asked how our daughter was. And I said, well, she's still having a headache. And she said, well, I have friends that had a daughter like that. And she's about 18, was having headaches like that. And I said, well, how long did they last? And she said, well, about 2 years. And I said, well, what happened? She said, well, she died. And that just was like a stab in my heart, you know. But what it did is I had to go home, and I got on my knees, and I said, okay, Lord, we have tried everything we could think of. And I said, I know you love Peggy more than you do. And if it's time for you to take her home, then I'm willing, and I give her up to you. And, I really had to leave, but about 2 weeks later, the Lord really impressed upon me on healing from his word. And she woke up one morning and she was crying these headaches. And I said, okay, God, here goes. And I just went down and all I did was just quote what Peter and James said to the man that was weak. I went down and I said, Peggy, in the name of Jesus, just rise up and be healed. And you know, within
90 days,
over 10 weeks,
those headaches have stopped. Praise the Lord. Yeah. That's right. And so God speaks to us about our children and give them up to the Lord. and how He touches them then. It's very, very true. I rejoice in that. Well, praise God. Now I want to show you the last great person in this chapter. The last great person in this chapter. If we could go on through Abraham, Jacob in verse 21, Joseph in verse 22, who fed the whole Egyptian world. If it hadn't been for him, they all would have starved in 7 years of famine. God put him in there years ahead of time. By faith, Moses was born. My, what a story from him, put out in that little bulrush ark in the river, and delivered, raised up to be prime minister of Egypt, a great, great country. Came away from it, went to lead God's people. And you look at him, see, you look at Moses, look at Abraham, look at Jacob, look at Joshua, look at all these people. You keep right on coming through until you finally come to the person you're really supposed to look to. You go right into Hebrews 12, and into Hebrews 12, verse 1, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Literally, looking unto Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And he who would have faith looks to Jesus Christ today. And by looking, I mean you put your spiritual attention upon. By looking away to Jesus, I mean you put your spiritual meditation upon the person of Jesus Christ. He is the author, file leader, point man, the pioneer and perfecter. If your faith is cringy around the edges, if it's wrinkles in it, you don't know what to do, then as we look to Christ, He is the pioneer and the perfecter, the one who brings to fruition and to maturity faith. Now, every one of you are on a different edge of faith. Every one of you have a different faith walk this morning on a different level. And every time I think I'm right up to snuff, God will open up something and you have a whole new frontier of faith for your life at a given point. And at that new frontier of faith, you look to Jesus and say, now, Lord, I believe you to be this to me and for you to supply what I need. When you come to a new frontier of faith, it almost feels like you're brand new again because you have to go through that process of coming to faith. It may come very quickly and may come over a period of time through the Word of God. But when God, as you walk with God, you keep coming to new frontiers of faith and you believe God for that. Then you step out here and you look around and say, well, my God in heaven, we'll have to believe the Lord. Lord, what do you want? All right, we'll have to believe God for this. And He will bring this to pass. And that comes to pass, you take the next step. And so the just man shall keep on living by his faith. By faith he's come this far, and by faith he keeps on going. Faith is a union life with Jesus Christ. Faith is an inbuilt confidence in Christ by the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's a union life of faith. And so we keep coming up to new circumstances, which are a new framework, in which now Christ is able, through you and the Word, to bring to pass in that framework what picture He once put there. If life didn't ask you the question, God couldn't give you the answer. Life of faith is a very everyday thing. But if you're coming to a new faith level tonight, this morning rather, you're facing something new, and if you aren't, you will. Faith to leave this town, live someplace else in the will of God. Faith to believe the next teaching in the Word of God the Holy Ghost is pressing you on. Faith to leave this church and come to that church. Faith to leave this church and go where God wants you. But it's always going to be Christ-centered. It's always going to be something that you know you're walking with God. He's living you, bringing you along, and you're living in the truth from God's Word. God will never lead you away from this book. He'll never lead you to a church that takes you away from this book. Never, 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 never. It's always into this book and into this truth and into the person of Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author. He was the only man who lived on the face of the earth totally, completely in obedient faith. That's why he's the author of faith. He believed the Father for everything. He believed the Father when he had no bed to sleep on a night, and the foxes and the birds have their place to sleep. The Son of Man lay down in the meadow and said, thank you, Father. By faith I take this to be my estate for you tonight. I thank you for that. And whether he stayed in the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, where he had silken sheets and the kindness of love, he said, thank you, Father, I take this from you today. And whether it was a meadow or whether it was a mattress, it was the same with the Lord Jesus. Now, life of faith. Don't think the life of, if you have a gift of faith, or if you want a gift of faith, don't think that that's something that just makes life easy. That's not something that makes life easy. That's something that makes life tested. You got to, you know, if you have a muscle, it's not there just to look at it. You want to get any bigger, it has to be used. And obviously, these weightlifters and iron pumpers obviously have exercised their muscles. And so faith is a capacity, spiritual muscle that as you go through life, it's faith for different things. It's believing for your neighbor next door. You need the gift of faith to believe for your neighbor. If you don't think so, then live where my neighbors are. You got to believe the Lord and do something for these dear folks. They're just lovely people, lovely unsaved people. How are they going to get saved? You got to believe, Lord, touch Denny and Danny and Michael. The only way they're going to be touched. That's a gift of faith. I'm not saying the gift of the Spirit. We all have faith and can go on to more faith. But I'm saying it takes this walk of faith for your neighbors to ever get saved. As well as someone to be healed, you see. It's faith to believe that this week is meaningful for you as you go to your job in the will of God. This week is meaningful to God and meaningful to you and meaningful to the people you work around. That you're a light in a dark place and you're there. I don't care whether they read by your light or not. The light's burning. Your life is meaningful and important to God. You live by faith. And that God shall quicken to us an interior consciousness. That we're in union with Him. And we live out from that union life. As the branch of the vine abides in close and living vitality. We live out from it. If I forget that relationship, become unconscious of it, then I live out from the flesh. But as I abide in the Lord, consciously, until God brings us to the place where we have quickened to us an unconscious consciousness that we live out from Him. Not looking for God like this one. Where's my keys? I gotta go get my car. Where are my keys? You know, where's God? He's somewhere around here. Where did God go to? You know, an unconscious consciousness that we are in union with Him. We live out from that. Then He can become our peace and our faith, our support, our wisdom. We live out from that. Since the author of faith lives in you, as I abide in Him and rest in Him, then He can communicate that faith to me for what He wants done in the framework of my life. And what's the framework of your life? Every situation in life is a new framework. What's the picture that's going to be in there? If life hasn't given you an empty framework, God couldn't put the picture in it. And every one of you have your own framework. Every one of you are living frameworks. And into your life is to come the picture that God has for you so that you are a display of His grace different from somebody else's. And you walk through the gallery of God's artwork and you're going to be a picture on the wall of His temple, and every one of you are living pictures, frameworks into which He's put something. Like going through an art gallery and every picture is different, and you look at this man, you look at that man, you look at this painter and that one, and they're all beauty there, but there's one great painter. And your life is the framework. And in your life, He's painting His picture. And by faith, the colors come in and the forms and the pictures and the objects. And they're seeing it. See your living picture. Your life is a framework. And the living Christ, who is the author and finisher of faith, lives in you. And He's painting into your life. And sometimes pictures don't look very pretty at all. Just what's going on? The colors don't match. The man's not through yet. Some things are perfectly through in your life. Other things are yet to be drawn in. And some things are in the middle of it right now. So you keep on living by faith. Your children grow, your jobs change, different things happen. And there you are. So praise God, you're a piece of artwork that God's not through yet, is in the middle of. He started with you, He's painted some things in. What we see of the grace of God begun in you, we rejoice in. What's yet to be there will come by faith as well. Amen? Very true. And the great artist from within, with the paintbrush of circumstances, and with the palette of the Holy Spirit, painting. We are not yet what we shall be, but when we see Him, we should be like Him. And so we have living portraits here. That's what you are. Let's stand for prayer. Let none leave discouraged. Let none leave unsaved. If you have not yet given yourself to Jesus Christ, then you should this morning. Surrender and repent of your sins. Give yourself without condition to Him. If you have some need of prayer this morning, the elders will be glad to pray with you here, and I'll be here too. No service this evening. Thank you for coming, and we praise God that His Spirit can take something that was said or shared this morning Put it in your heart. Let that become part of the new color in the portrait that God's painting on the spirit, the canvas of your spirit within you. Amen and amen. Our Father, we thank you that we're on the way through as you keep painting pictures on this canvas of our souls, our lives, the framework. Your work is what goes on it. And we by faith receive and believe, God, to accomplish in us and through us. Some, Lord, for unsaved loved ones, children, some wayward daughter, a son, someone concerned about their finances, need a job, need a different kind of a job, need training. Some, Lord, concerned about parents who are sick and elderly and no one to take care of them. And, Lord, others wondering about their young children and how they'll turn out. Lord, we thank thee that you've said 450 times in scriptures, at least, fear not. And Lord, you live within us and you will be our sufficiency. Our lives are in your hands. We're here for your glory. And there's not an ant crawling in the Sahara who's outside the immediate control of yourself. And so, Lord, we thank you for your mercies. Give us journeying mercies as we go home. Keep us, Lord, safely from others who might drive foolishly. Help us to drive with wisdom, not trying to put God to the test. Thank you for each one here, for every home, for every child that's represented by these homes, for young people coming to an early maturity, trying to make decisions, and for parents holding their breath and praying while the decisions are being made, that you shall teach them. Help us know when to say something, when to say nothing. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your mercies and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And God's people said, amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you.